This is Gone to Be Far Away, a Stranger Things supernatural fusion fic, written by Paper Faith and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated PG-13 and is Gen, with additional tags for alternate universe, angels and demons, crossover, supernatural elements, demons, hell, hell-related trauma, angst with a happy ending, attempts at humor, implied violence, canon typical violence. Steve is a sad boy. Steve Harrington has powers. Steve Harrington has trauma. References to Christian religion and lore. Rena made me do it! Found family. This story was written and recorded as part of Pod Together 2024 and is part two in the series The Curse. Readers and author's notes after the fic. Elle doesn't tell anyone. Steve asked her not to, explained what a secret is, and promised to help her learn more about her powers. She doesn't tell anyone, but maybe Steve should have also explained the concept of covert and subtle to her, because she utterly fails at both of those. So he has only himself to blame, really, when Dustin, in a fit of jealousy, demands to know what Elle is doing, suddenly hanging around Steve all the time. And she easily replies, "Steve is helping me with my powers." What? Why? That's a secret. No. 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 What that is blood in the water. Dustin's pride is pricked because he made a training regimen for Elle that may or may not bear a startling resemblance to a montage from an X-Men comic. And his jealousy is roused because Steve is his person. And his scientific curiosity is suddenly laser-focused because secret. Of course, he gets the rest of the party involved in under 24 hours. And from then on, it's an endless barrage of guesses, threats, cajoling, and outright insulting Steve in the hopes of making him crack. Look, if you're a mutant, just tell me. I swear I'll keep my mouth shut. You know I can. Dustin. Obviously. If you come from the same place as Elle, you know we'll keep you safe, right? Like you keep us safe. Will. Whatever, you're probably just doing it for attention. If you're trying to win Nancy back, it's not gonna work. Mike, the little shit. Dude, how did you lose against Billy if you have superpowers? Lame? Max. Damn, but Steve loves her. And, I mean, Elle isn't really good at this whole secret thing, so we're pretty sure you have powers of some sort, too. And I guess that's scary, but don't you trust us? Lucas. Bless his little heart. And it's not that Steve doesn't trust them, but they have more than enough on their plate without him introducing the concept of religion into their already chaotic lives. And also, he's a demon. Not a kid with a sad backstory and some cool powers. He is a literal creature of hell living inside the body of a dead child. And that's a bit harder to swallow than Elle, who is sweet and pure and innocent. Also, the dimples. They're really what got Steve into this mess in the first place. so he just nods gravely at Will and Lucas, confirms nothing, denies everything, and half hopes something else will try to kill them all just so they'll be distracted. In other news, though, Ella's powers are progressing nicely, and Steve has developed a surefire way to get blood out of delicate whites. The nosebleeds seem to be a feature, not a bug. His tried and true method of ignore it until it A, goes away, or B, you have no other choice but to run, works for over a month. Until Will's birthday. Until the entire party, plus adults and teenagers, is gathered at the Byers, and the little shits, undoubtedly led by Dustin, start a coordinated assault. Are you a werewolf or a vampire? Do you have fangs? Sticky fingers trying to pry his lips apart. Or fins? Grabbing and pulling at his fingers. Fur? Jumping on his back, tugging on his hair. Chupacabra? Do you eat chickens? They're taunting him, intentionally trying to goad him into blurting out something, pulling, pushing, tugging, squeezing, tapping, pinching, and incessantly nattering into his ears. And Steve spends the first half hour telling himself it's sweet how much they trust that whatever he is, whatever his powers are, he won't hurt them for this. They trust that they're safe with him. But fuck it if they aren't setting off his every instinct, ingrained over eons spent in hell, spent running and hiding and fighting for his life, spent in war zones and on the run. They come at him out of his blind spots. They're loud and bright and prickly, surprising him again and again, making him flinch, making him tense and tenser, hyper-aware and strung out and fuck, fuck, fuck. He's been Steve a long time. He's been topside a long time. But he spent literal eons in hell, where every touch was meant to hurt, where every surprise meant fighting for his life, where every loud noise or bright light was an attack, and he has to concentrate so hard to not be that, to not do that. And they're making it almost impossible, making it so, so difficult, because they trust him. And he would rather flay himself open down to the soul than hurt them, but they don't stop. Please, please, just stop. I'm begging you, stop. Joyce tells them to knock it off more than once, but they just grow sneakier. And at this point, Jonathan and Nancy are almost as eager to know, so they run interference with Mama Byers, and this will end in disaster. Will end badly. Will end with Steve either hurting one of the brats on accident, or blurting out his secret and ruining everything. Or running. He can run. He can just leave. Leaving is good. Except he can't, because Max and Elle are clinging to his legs like limpets, all available limbs wrapped around his own. And Dustin and Mike are poking and prodding, and Steve is about 5 seconds away from either a panic attack or telekinetically slamming them into a wall. I'm a goddamn demon, he roars, because he will not hurt these children, his eyes flashing a bright, sinister maroon. The color of old blood and rust and damaged, broken things. He hates it, has spent centuries studying the exact hue and shade of it, looking for the brightness that his gaze once held. The grace, the blessing. But he fell. He fell and he burned. And now his eyes are this old blood, old slaughter. And he hates them more than the rest of himself. And he relaxed too far, got too comfortable, because all it took to make him break was a few hours of the kids nagging him, hitting all his triggers, and him trusting them. And now he has ruined it all. All of it. The comfort, the happiness, the safety they made him feel. All of it, because they won't. They can't. He hears it in his voice, even as he roars. The metallic sound under it. The growl of the inhuman. The sibilant hiss of less than. And together with the eyes, he knows what he is. What he looks and sounds like. Monster. He needs to get out of here before they kick him out. Before the screaming starts. Before their expression, stunned right now, turn to fear. Needs to... He turns those eyes, those bitter, bloody eyes, on the boys, who have frozen with his scream, feels them flare brighter, uglier, and repeats, I'm a literal demon from hell. Now let go. The girls let go. And Steve flees the frozen tableau of shock and fear through the back door, out, away. He's half tempted to just leave the body, too. Shed this skin he's worn for so long, gotten so comfortable in, that it made him stupid, made him careless. But even now, even knowing that they'll fear him now, won't forgive him now, he can't stand the idea of any of them finding this meat suit empty and dead. Finding it dropped in the dirt, discarded like a candy wrapper. They think it's him, this body. Think that this is, that he is, that Steve is what he is. Even knowing now, they wouldn't understand. And they've seen so much death already. And here's a secret. The worst of them all. He thinks that Steve is who he is, too. This body has been his for so long. Emptied of soul, of anything but him. Has housed him and hidden him and given him more peace than he ever thought he'd get to feel again. So he stays inside of it, and walks it, himself, to the edge of the woods, where he sinks onto an old tree stump, head in his hands, and tries to remember how to breathe. He doesn't need to breathe. Fuck. 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 He needs to go. He stays. After a long while, there are footsteps. Two sets. Hopper and Joyce. The adults, of course. Jonathan and Nancy, inside probably, armed and protecting the kids. While the two of them are out here, facing the monster. He raises his head, fully expecting to find weapons. But all he finds in their hands is a six-pack of beer and Joyce wringing the sleeves of her sweater. Still. I'll be out of town by morning, he tells them, as flatly as possible, trying to hide... whatever it is he's feeling. Too much. Too much humanity seeping in insidious. Hope and love and joy and care and hope and hope. Pandora's box backwards. Hope crept in first. Opened the windows and threw wide all the doors. And now here he is. Daring to reach for more than God decreed he should ever have again. Why's that? Hopper asks, setting the six-pack down by his feet after pulling out a can and cracking it open. Steve just looks at him, and because he can, flashes his eyes again. They were golden once long ago, and no matter how hard he tries, he can't ever forget that. So heaven and hell are real? Joyce asks quietly. Her voice sounds a little shaky, but so, so determined. Steve shrugs. Yeah. The devil and God, too? He snorts. Sees no reason not to answer. To maybe take away some of her fear, if he can, before he goes. Lucifer's been locked into a cage at the bottom of hell since the fall, and God fucked off to another universe shortly after. So yeah, they're real, but they have no input on humanity, if that's what you are worried about. Joyce takes a long breath in, holds it, exhales. This is crazy. Even with the upside down and all of that, this is crazy. She chuckles. It turns only a little hysterical at the end. And yet they believe him. Something about him, about all of them, angels and demons alike, is so other, so overwhelmingly inhuman, that there is never really room for doubt. These people, his people, they ignored that little lizard brain whisper, ignored their instinct long enough to let him close, to let him slip in under the wire of all the ways they are made to fear him. But it had to end sometime, didn't it? Even if they held out longer than most in their ignorance, their willful blindness to all the ways he feels wrong, eventually, it had to end. He should have known better than to trust it. But there it is again. Hope. Again, he shrugs. I came to this town because it's unimportant and boring, and nothing ever happens here. Imagine my surprise when a dimensional portal cracked open in your living room. But you were born here, weren't you?
Hopper speaks for the first time.
Somehow, they're still talking. Somehow, no one is screaming or trying to hurt him.
Steve turns his head, stares into the dark woods.
Steve Harrington was, yeah. But he fell out of a tree at the age of 3 and died. I kind of took over his body. He didn't need it anymore.
He blinks.
Demonic possession isn't just a Hollywood thing. He watched The Exorcist when it first came out. Startlingly close to reality, except for all the vomiting.
He also just told them enough to figure out how to exorcise him, probably. And that is a bad idea, but...
Paradoxically, that makes both the humans relax. Steve can see their shoulders slump, their stances relax, even without directly facing them. It's enough to make him turn around to face them again. Why do you look happy about that?
Hopper bends down, grabs another can, and stretches over to hand it to Steve,
who flinches automatically before the fact that he's being handed a drink overrides his hell-honed instincts. You act like you think we'll try to hurt you, kid.
Steve snorts, even as he takes the can but doesn't open it.
Won't you? I just told you I'm a demon. Yeah,
Hopper drawls.
And then you turned tail and ran. Don't think that's standard MO for evil hell creatures, is it?
Steve says nothing.
Fuck Pandora anyway.
Whatever you are, Joyce says, her hands stilling finally. You're still the boy who kept the children safe, who protected Jonathan and Nancy, who fought Billy and the Demodogs to keep everyone safe. You got hurt doing those things. I think that matters more than what you say you are. He flinches again at the mention of Billy. Hopper notices, and with the air of someone who really doesn't want to know, he asks, "That punk's some kind of demon, too? He did fuck you up pretty good." A shrug. "Technically, he killed me. Aneurysm." Steve wiggles a finger at his temple. Shrugs again. "Had to keep my cover. I like being Steve. Didn't want to ruin it too early." Somehow, that makes them both look even more pinched. "He killed you?" "Easy fix. I can control this body. It's fine. And better me than him getting at the kids." Hopper actually chuckles at that. "Yeah, and that's why no one's really afraid of you, kid." "Hey," Steve defends, half-heartedly, still barely daring to breathe, to hope. "I watched when you apes decided to try out being bipedal for a while. Don't call me kid." It's his turn now to giggle a little hysterically and hope no one calls him on it. Because this is happening, isn't it? They're just talking. Talking. They should be sharpening the pitchforks, damn them all. "Please don't." "And yet I caught you making out with Carrie Matthews at the quarry last week," Hopper drawls, a grin on his face. And that teasing, that easy back and forth, is so familiar that Steve finally lets himself trust it. Just a little. "Everyone's really okay with this?" Joyce shrugs this time. "Well, the boys are still trying to explain heaven and hell to Elle, who is very confused, and Dustin was compiling a list of questions when we left, but other than that, you're fine, honey. You're Steve. That's all this family cares about. Family." Steve ducks his head, suddenly ashamed of his outburst. But then it's not like he isn't basing his reactions on past experiences. He is a demon. People have never once reacted favorably to that. But then, people have also never missed the subliminal warnings their lizard brains send out, or faced hell beasts and monsters. So maybe preconceived notions are out the window for this one. "There's an actual chance this time. This time, it might be okay." "Maybe." Steve opens the can of beer in his hands. Later. "So, does this mean running water is not a problem for you?" "That's vampires, Dustin. Now get out of the fucking bathroom. I'm trying to take a shower." "Do you have to count stuff? How would I count your teeth after I knock them out of your head? Oh, wait. Hey, low blow. What about holy water? What the? Whoa! Get that away from me! That shit burns! Sorry! What? Salt. Yeah, I got that part. I already told you salt works. Yeah, but would it work if I filled a hula hoop with it? Like an instant demon trap? You could do it like a ring toss, do you think?" Steve blinks at Dustin, long and hard, trying to find some reason that wouldn't work. Visions of himself trapped in a pink hula hoop already playing at the back of his head. If you ever, he says very slowly, and I mean ever, try that on me, I will tell Claudia what happened to Muse. Steve! Sooner. It still won't last. Can't last. Of course it can't. They listened, they heard, but they still don't understand. They are ants trapped in a hurricane, trying to imagine a forest fire. He says demon, and they think of Steve doing the dishes, of Steve telling off the kids, hands on his hips. Think of this face he wears, and they forget that it's a stolen, rotting thing kept alive only by his will. He says demon, and they think of Elle. Third hand, barely there powers, dimples and nosebleeds and big, earnest eyes, and they forget. They never even really knew. It's too big for them, too abstract beside flower-faced monsters and mind flayers. And so Steve knows it can never last, even as he tries. Sharp but not cutting, Elle says. And he tries so hard, but it can never last. But he hopes it will. The end. Author's Notes. For the Wishlist 2023, Rena Jenkins prompted me a prompt that resulted in the first story in this series. It was not a series then. 8 months, a lot of reconnecting and talking and flailing later. It is a series. There's more to come too, but we are both adulting hard these days, and it sucks. And also, writing used to be easier. And also, neither of us has watched Supernatural in ages and ages, and getting the voices down is hard, and also excuses. So, more to come, but for now, this. We had oodles and oodles of fun with it, and we hope you do too. Title, once again, for an Agnes Obel song. TLDR. We're back, bitches! Reader's Notes. Credit where credit is due, the idea for the Hula Hoopful Assault came from Afflixia. It was her idea, and it is amazing. I've had an absolute joy of a time pulling apart this tiniest speck of supernatural world building and lore with Paper Faith, as we popcorn kerneled it into this huge, spraying intersection of Stranger Things feelings and Steve Harrington's character study. It just... And we have so much more to come! Eddie is involved! And Dean Winchester! And it's been an absolutely wonderful time working with Paper Faith again, and I can't wait to share this crack with everyone who was ever victimized by Jensen Ackles' thighs! If you watched Supernatural while it was live on TV, you may be entitled to compensation. But yeah, thank you so much to everyone who is joining us on this journey. And wish us luck and fortitude as we revisit Supernatural Season 2 and try to find their voices again. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Have a nice day.